As we are talking about our completion project, the verse that I wanted to share with you this morning really connects with the message. I mean, I'm sharing a variety of verses with you as we initiate this realization that God desires to complete a work in us. He began a good work, and he's going to bring it about to completion. But his intention, or if there's a picture before us of what we are to become, it's his son Jesus. And it says in Romans 8:29 that for God knew his people in advance, and he chose them to become like his son, so that his son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. So if there's a standard for us to rise up to, it is the image of Jesus Christ. And, you know, so if you have any questions about that, just start reading in the Gospels. Start reading who this Jesus is, what he is, and how he responds in different situations. And we also know that Jesus is the exact representation of God. So if we want to know what God is like, let's look to the scriptures and see how God would respond in any situation by the way that Jesus does. I'd encourage you also read through Hebrews chapter 1 that speaks about Jesus and who he was and what God created him to be. And then here it is that we are to become conformed to his image, or chosen to become like Jesus. When we're talking about the completion project that God has, part of that is not, and I shared this with you in our series of Attaining Your Potential, going through the book of Ephesians, that it is not just that we are redeemed and so we're going to have eternal life. We've not just been redeemed from our sin, but we have also been redeemed to our purpose, that God desires to redeem the purpose of our life, that, you know, that purpose is stolen when we're separated from God, but when we're brought back together in a right relationship with God, that redemption brings us to our purpose. It's a redeeming of our purpose as well. And so, I want to ask these questions. First of all, how can you be complete without finding and fulfilling your purpose? From my perspective, it's impossible. It's impossible for us to be complete without finding and fulfilling our purpose. And so how would we be fulfilled? You know, how would you have that sense of fulfillment or that sense of satisfaction? How would we be satisfied if we're not fulfilling the purpose that God has for us in our life? And not just, I mean, I want to be more specific than just this broad general purpose of becoming conformed to the image of Jesus. It's like there are specific things that God has in mind for us, the purpose that he has for us. And I believe direction that the Lord is leading us to, and words of the Lord this morning and the songs and everything. I just sense that the Spirit of God is speaking to us and for us to hear what God has for us for purpose. When we talk about I've titled this message Living Sacrifices, and what I want to share with you in this is really God has some expectations for you. He will communicate those expectations. And a part of that communicating of expectations is through his body, through the church. And so I feel like we as a church have a responsibility, and that is to communicate to you what God's expectations are, and to continually be drawing you towards that, towards God's expectations of your life. And this happens to be a significant part of that you becoming a living sacrifice for him. Obviously, this comes from Romans chapter 12 and verses 1 through 13. I'll share these verses with you, but go ahead and look it up if you would. And then before we read those verses, I want to take you right to verse 11, and I'm going to put this one up on the screen because I want to share this from the New International Version. Romans 12, verses 1 through 13, but go ahead and look at the screen here. I'm going to put up verse 11 from the NIV. It says, "Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord." Now we have, about a month ago, in our prayer team time, we received what I would call a directive word from the Lord. And it was just these two words, restored passion. Restored passion. Now, you know, I believe that even as I speak those words, something's going to jump in your heart. Something's going to say, That's a word for me. That's a word for this congregation. A restored passion. God is speaking that word to us. And it's very interesting to note that how our zeal can be restored, or how we can keep our fervor, our spiritual fervor, is in serving Him. It's not just being ministered to, someone comes and delivers an awesome message to me and I get renewed in my heart, renewed in my desire, renewed in my passion. We are renewed in our passion and renewed in our zeal by serving the Lord. So this is something that I want you to see as we go into these verses from Romans chapter 12. We'll go ahead and start with verse 1 here. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all He has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind He will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship Him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us. Just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body and we all belong to each other. In His grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is in serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is in giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in your confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. Okay, so at the onset of this passage of Scripture, it says, first of all, give your bodies to God, or make yourselves to be a living sacrifice. And the whole motivation for this should be because of what He has done for you. You know, I remember what I would call my born-again experience was not my first revelation of what Jesus had done for me, because I grew up in a Christian home. I grew up in a church that preached the Word of God, that preached salvation, that preached Jesus as the Son of God and forgiveness of sin through Him. And so I had that from the onset, as far back as I can remember. So I don't remember a specific time when this revelation came to me. But what I remember is a specific time when the Lord said to me, look at what all I have done for you. It's time to live your life for me. And so it was not a new revelation of Jesus Christ as the Son of God, but what it was is, look at what I've done. The appropriate response is to live your life for me. And so that should be the motivation for our giving ourselves, as giving our bodies to the Lord, giving ourselves in service, is because of what He has done for us. And then it goes on to say, this is truly the way to worship Him. Now, sometimes we think that worship needs to have music, it needs to have words, and it's where we raise our hands to the Lord, we sing our songs to the Lord, and that's a part of worship, but that's not the all of worship. We can do all of that and still be just doing our own thing in our own lives and really not truly worshiping the Lord. Then it would be like the scripture where Jesus said, they give me lip service only. Oh, yeah, we say, Lord, we love You. We want to draw near to You. But we're not giving ourselves in service to Him. This is our true spiritual worship, in giving our bodies to the Lord or becoming living sacrifices. It says, let God transform you by changing the way you think. You know, again, here's that word transform. That means there's a change going on. That means there is a completion project that God has not finished yet because he hasn't totally transformed us because our mind still doesn't think totally like his. This is another whole message. I'm not going to go here today. But I think it may come soon as part of this completion project where there's this thing that happens with our minds that when we're thinking along the lines of him, it's going to totally change our lives. It will totally change how you respond to situations when we're thinking along the way that God thinks. And so we are transformed by changing the way that we think. Learn to know God's will for you. As our minds are changed, as we are transformed, we will learn to know God's will for us. That's part of that completion process so that we can fulfill what God has in mind for us. Now, everyone say the word all. Here it says, all are parts of one body. So no one is excluded from being a part of the body of Jesus Christ. All are parts of one body, but we have different gifts of grace. The Lord has great variety in his gifts of grace that he gives to people. We have different gifts of grace. So the word here then says to use your gift well. You know, whether it is to prophesy or whether it is in serving or whether you're a teacher, whether you're an encourager, whether your gift is in giving or whether it's in leadership, it says use your gift well. Never be lazy, but instead working hard, serving the Lord enthusiastically. There again is that fervor. There again is that passion. Serving the Lord enthusiastically, never be lazy. But instead, be ready to help God's people in need. Okay, so there's one scripture. Here's another one that will confirm those things, speaking about being a part of the body. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. Again, I shared this when we were in our series of Attaining Your Potential. And we went through the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4 speaks about being members of the body and fulfilling our part as a member of the body. So Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. Now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and to build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind and new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies, so clever they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Okay, so again, the words along from this scripture is, first of all, there is given to the church gifts to equip God's people to do his work. So part of the completion process or the completion project that God has in mind is for you to be equipped, for you to be equipped to do God's work, to do his work. All right? It says this will continue that we will be mature, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. So what is the banner that God raises up for us to be like? It's to be conformed to the image of Jesus, becoming more and more, growing in every way more and more like Christ. That's God's plan for his church, for the body, to be more and more like Jesus Christ, measuring up to that full and complete standard of Christ. This work of equipping, this work of God's work being done will continue. It says he makes the body fit together perfectly as each part. Everyone say each part. Each part. Okay, so no one is excluded from that. We're not excluded from the all. We're not excluded from the each part. So we've got to examine ourselves and say, okay, what's my part? Am I fitting into my part? He makes the body fit together perfectly as each part does its special work. Now, you have heard me speak of a church being fully funded and fully functional. Fully funded, I believe, is when all of God's people bring their tithes and their offerings to his storehouse, that we recognize this part is God's. We don't hold it back from him or from the storehouse. That, I believe, is how God sees the potential of a congregation doing what he's called them to do, is how he supplies it financially is through the tithes and the offerings of each one. That's fully funded. But fully functional is each one doing their part, adding their part to the body so that it can be complete. Each one, that's fully functional. And unless each one is doing their part, it will not be complete. It will not be complete without your serving part. Two things, I believe, you know, this is for you as an individual. Again, you will not be complete without fulfilling your part. You're not going to have that sense of satisfaction or that sense of fulfillment without fulfilling your part in the body of Christ. And neither will the body or the church be complete without your part. There again, we could do a whole lot more teaching. We could go into 1 Corinthians chapter 12, speaking about the different members of the body and how each part is so significant, is so vital, and that we cannot separate ourselves from the body, saying the body doesn't need me, and neither can you tell someone else, we don't need you. And, you know, every member is so vital, and the body is not complete without each part doing its part. It helps the other parts to grow, as it says here in this passage of Scripture, and causes the whole body to be healthy and growing. So again, I want you to see from the Scripture that there is this expectation of God that you will fulfill the part of the body that he has gifted you to do, that he has given you a variety of grace gifts for you to fulfill that part of the body that you have been called to. So I see it as that we as a church, Praise Fellowship Church, has a quest for your completion, not wanting you to not come to that completion or not wanting to leave out the expectation that God has for you fulfilling that part that you have in the body of Christ. You have a part. God has gifted you with a part. And if that part is not utilized, that's just like the servant who received the talent that went and buried that talent. God doesn't want us burying our talents. So we have a quest for your completion by bringing you through that process of finding your part and fulfilling your part. The mission and purpose of Praise Fellowship Church is loving God and people too and making followers of Jesus. This comes from the Great Commandment, where when Jesus was asked, what is the greatest commandment? He said, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And he said, and the second is like the first, to love your neighbor as yourself. This is where we get the phrase loving God and people too. And then the great commission that Jesus gave was to go into all the world and preach the gospel, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. In other words, making followers of Jesus to teach others what Jesus has taught us, to make followers or disciples of Jesus. And where we get the phrase making followers of Jesus is from the Great Commission. So we go through times of evaluation. I, as a pastor, do, and I have been presenting this before our ministry leaders, as well as a time of evaluation where a congregation designed around a straightforward strategic process that moves people through the stages of spiritual growth. If we don't do that, I feel like we're not fulfilling the responsibility that God has given us as a church. The equipping to take place for you to realize and exercise the gift that God has given you to complete you as an individual and to complete his body as you serve your particular part in that body. So do we have that process in place? How do we make followers of Jesus? One of the things that I presented before the ministry leaders, and this is some time ago that we've done this, and we're kind of reevaluating, going back to this question. First of all, if we're going to make followers of Jesus, well, what does a follower of Jesus look like? And this is not exclusive. I mean, this, you know, you could put a lot more detail into this, but this is kind of a general conclusion that we came to as ministry leaders, that a disciple or a follower of Jesus looks like this. A disciple is a fully committed believer that is in a close relationship with God, seeking to be changed into conformity to the image of Jesus. They are a person that is discovering their spiritual gifts and is using them to serve the Lord and other people. They are in a relationship with other people for fellowship and accountability. They are seeking and are functioning in their place in the world to impact the world as ambassadors of the Lord. You know, so I want to say there's really kind of two aspects to this serving the Lord. Part of it is in his congregation, his body, the church, and a part of it is out to the world. And so we need to develop that balance in our lives and not excuse one for the other. In other words, we might say, well, I have a ministry out in the world, so there is no place for me to serve in the church. I don't have any time or, you know, my areas to serve in the world. And neither can we say, well, I serve in the church, therefore I have no responsibility to reach out and serve in the world. Now, there are two aspects to that. We are called to serve one another, as it describes in this passage of Scripture, helping to edify, helping to build up, helping to grow this body, serving other believers. But then there is also that God has given us an ambassadorship to the world, where we go out and we represent the kingdom of God to Him, and we serve the Lord in our community. We serve the Lord out in our jobs, in our, you know, in the world. We serve the Lord there as well. So there's two aspects to that. We can't excuse one for the other. We can't neglect. We need to have a balance of those things. So this question comes up: how does our activity reflect our purpose? How does our the activity that we have as a congregation, is that reflecting the purpose that we have of bringing people to through a process of spiritual maturity where this completion can take place in their lives and where they come to a point where they are serving the Lord both in the congregation and in the world? So, welcome to our house. And this is where I got the picture and on the front of your sermon notes. What I want to share with you is, and I have shared this before, a part of this message. Anyway, I looked back in my notes, and it was actually in January of 2008. I couldn't believe it had been that long ago. I thought it was just last summer or sometime. It just seemed like it was closer than that. But it just reinforced to me how I need to speak some things over and over again so that we're reminded of these things. And so that's my plan with this today. What I want to do is use a home or a house, a household, as kind of a metaphor for the body of Christ, so we can get a picture of there's different aspects regarding this house that are parts of privileges and parts of responsibilities that we have because we are dwelling in a household. First of all, I'm going to brief through these and then we'll look at them a little more detailed. We're going to talk about invitation, introductions, interaction, household chores, and let's go invite the neighbors. First of all, when we talk about invitation, this is more so you having been invited to come to the Lord, or you having been invited to come to a congregation. Now, it's very rare that people will go to someone's house without being invited. I mean, you know, some feel that freedom, and I'm not saying that's a wrong thing, but most people feel like, you know, I need an invitation before I go because, you know, I don't want to accidentally impose on them or you know, come at a bad time. You know, the wife and husband had just had a flat-out fight, you know, and here I show up, and they're just all kind of uncomfortable and, you know, that kind of thing. It's like, you know, I'd rather know that I'm coming, or I'd rather have an invitation. And so people are like that. People need an invitation. We were invited. Most of us will remember a time where we were invited to come into a relationship with Jesus Christ. It may have been through a special meeting. It may have been through a friend. It may have been through something that you heard, you know, or something that you read, but you received an invitation to come into the family of God, to receive Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. Also, we receive an invitation to come to a church. sometimes people venture out on their own and say, you know what, I'm gonna go to church, or I'm going to attend that church or whatever. But frequently it comes as a result of either an invitation or a reference. Like, you ought to go to that church. Or, hey, why don't you come and try our church? That kind of invitation is always easier than just flat out cold, you know, I'm going to do this. So when we're talking about an invitation, again, we're talking about to a church or to a relationship with the Lord, to the family of Christ, which is a relationship with the Lord. Now, one of the things that, again, I'm trying to make a correlation between going to being invited to someone's house and your experience of being invited into the family of God. One of the things that I believe we all attempt to do is we want to make people feel welcome. When they come to our house, you want to make them feel welcome. And so it is that when people are being initiated into the family of God, or even coming to a church for the first time, there needs to be that sense of welcome. If people feel welcome, they're much more ready to hear. They're much more likely to come back again. If you've gone to someone's house and you didn't feel welcome, you felt like, man, I am out of place here, you don't want to go back. And so there is the sense of welcome that we can express, and I believe that we as a congregation do a good job of that when new people come, visitors come. I believe that, you know, for the most part, we are good at that, but I just want to encourage you more in that direction, is, you know, what help people to sense that welcome when they attend our house, when they come to our house. Help people to sense that welcome. And a part of that welcome is introductions. Now, as I put here, you know, how about meet Dad? Let me just say this, that when my kids bring friends to our house, you know, I want them to introduce them to me. You know, especially if it's my daughters bringing home boys. I want to know who they are. You know, I want that introduction. But again, in an attempt to relate this to, you know, bringing people to God's family, or even bringing people to this church, I hope I'm making this clear, that you're getting this connection. I want people, when they come to this church, to have the opportunity to be introduced to Father, to God. And so this is part of the reason why we emphasize the presence of the Lord. A variety of reasons. Moses, when he was speaking to God about whether God would go with them or not, he says, Lord, if you don't go with us, don't send us, because your presence is the distinguishing factor between us and all the other peoples of the world. Your presence is what makes the difference, Lord. So if you don't go with us, don't send us. And I would say, if God isn't going to be present here, why are we going to have a church? There really is no reason to have a church if God is not going to be present here. And what we want to invite people into is not just an experience where they get to have fun with other people or learn things and you know, relate with other people. That's not all we want to do. That's a part of it. But that, to me, is fruitless unless people have an opportunity to encounter God, to experience His presence, to be introduced to Father. And, you know, even to the point where unbelievers, it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, it talks about unbelievers coming into your midst, experiencing and saying, you know what? Truly, God is in your midst. Because they can't deny the presence of the Lord. And so that's something that I will continue to encourage in us. You know, let's develop these thin places where the natural comes very close to the spiritual, and we sense the presence of the Lord. Because when people come in here, not only the people of this congregation, but new people or unbelievers even, that they can say, you know what, there's something different about that place. I sense something that I've never sensed before. I sense acceptance. I sense love. I sense an encouragement, you know, something that I've never sensed before. So let's be good about introducing people to Dad, to our Father. And then also there's meet the family, and that is the other believers. This kind of goes back to the welcome, but when a person comes into our congregation, they should never have to go up and say, "Hi, my name is," and introduce themselves. We ought to be the ones who greet them at the door and say, "Hi, my name is, what's your name?" We're introducing the rest of the family, not only to Father, but we're going to introduce the rest of the family to this individual as part of the welcome, part of the introduction. Then there's interaction. And I believe that within the congregation, that's like going to the family room, family activities in the family room. Now, we do different things in our family room. Sometimes it's more playful things, and other times it's more serious things. And we will have that in the church congregation as well. There's times where we group together in small groups, and I believe the family interaction time is more small group types of activity. There will be times where we're getting together and just having fun. You know, I think of, you know, Charlie. He invites a bunch of people over and they shoot clay pigeons. You know, family fellowship time, time spent in the family room. Obviously, they don't shoot in the family room. They, you know, go outside. But the point of it is they're, it's just very appropriate to get together just for fun. The night we spent out at Daryl and Audrey's for the Valentine's thing, that we just had fun. It was great. It's a good thing to do. Sometimes when our family has grouped together in the family room, it's for a more serious thing. It's like we need to address some things as a family. We need to talk about some of our family household rules and policies and, you know, things like that. It's more serious. And that would be, you know, like when people are grouping up together for Bible studies or people are grouping up together for a specific study or specific purpose, those kinds of things. It's family interaction. But then there's household chores. And this is where, as we've stated from these scriptures, there's keeping your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord, and gifted to do things, and as this passage of scripture, these passages of scripture said, to do them well. I just want to present to you that coming into the family or coming into the household, there are certain expectations that we will communicate to you that there are household chores. You have responsibilities as a part of the family. This is coming from Scripture. This is not just pastors saying, "I'm tired of doing so much by myself. It's about time you guys started helping." And by the way, I don't feel that way. There's a whole bunch of helping that's going on here. So this is not, you know, a message bred out of frustration. But this is a message bred out of there is a completion process, and we as a church have a part of that, encouraging you for your own completion and for the completion of His body that God has called you to. There is a place for you to serve. You know, when I was talking about this before in my January 2008 message, you know, I put up different rooms in the house. It's like, you know, and everyone oogled because I had put up a really fancy house and some, you know, "Oh man, I wish I could work in a kitchen like that." You know, it's just awesome. But the point of it is there are kitchen responsibilities. We'll invite you into the kitchen and say, "Hey, come and help, you know, cut up the vegetables." Again, I'm speaking metaphorically, saying there's chores, there's household chores. You know, go take the garbage out. Go clean the bathroom. The stool's dirty. You know, it's like, I don't know if I like that job or not. But, you know, there's some people that are gifted, and sometimes you just... gifted for toilets, yeah. You know, but there's sometimes you go... You know, that's not my particular area that I enjoy serving, but it needs to be done. You know, that I do not disqualify myself from plunging toilets here at the church. I've done it several times. It's like, or finding something down in the bottom of, you know, so I put on the glove and, you know, it's just, I'm not beyond that. And none of us should be beyond the stuff that's not as enjoyable as the other stuff. But there are certain household chores, and all of us are called to do the household chores. That's how we serve one another. Okay, so what I want to do now is I just want to share with you some of the areas of service that you may have an opportunity to serve. Many of you already are. But there's opportunities to serve. And again, this is not exclusive. This is not the only thing we do as a congregation, not the only way that we serve here among one another, but this is a major part of what's going on a regular basis. And so I'm going to share the areas and the people. First of all, my lovely wife is giving direction to the prayer ministry and also the nursery ministry. And part of the reason I'm putting this up is two reasons. One, I want to brag on my ministry leaders. I tell you what, we are so blessed in this church. I am so blessed as a pastor to have the people serving that are. In their faithfulness and their willingness to serve, they're doing a tremendous job, and not in it for glory, not in it for power, not in it for wanting to be in the know, you know, so that I can know what's going on in every detail. They're not like that. They're awesome servers, and I am so blessed. And I'm blessed with Melanie in a whole lot of other ways too, so I'm just very grateful. But she leads up the prayer and the nursery ministry, and then there's Randy and Tammy with the children's ministry, Steve and Sue with the youth, Steve and Linda with the parenting and the Growing Kids God's Way curriculum, Stephanie with music leadership, Ted with the audio and visual, and Charlie and Susie with the greeting and hospitality, and Daryl with the ushers, and Horacio and Ursula with the Hispanic outreach. And there's other areas that are developing. This one isn't one that's developing. This has gone on and on. Dad has been so involved in the mechanicals. He's a toilet plunger, too. I'll call and say, Dad, this stool, I've tried. I've plunged, and I don't know. And so there was one time where he came up, and he took the toilet off of the floor and took it outside and found that there was this. You don't mind telling this, do you? There was this pen that had gotten down in the trap. You know, it doesn't plunge out, and, you know, it flushes once, and then the next time there's paper that's caught in it, it's not flushing, and it's just, oh, frustrating. But he finally figured out what it was. And so he's served in that capacity years and years. But the other part, not only bragging on my ministry leaders, but saying, you know, these are the people, if you're sensing the Lord would have you help in a particular area of ministry, helping to do your part, ways that you've been gifted or ways that you have been graced, these are the people to talk to. And these are the people that are going to be extending invitations. Because a lot of people don't respond without the invitation. Sometimes you just need someone to ask you, would you help be a part of the nursery ministry? Would you help be a part of children's? Would you help be a part of you? Would you come and help plunge toilets? You know, sometimes people just need to be invited. And so this is going to be a part of PFC's quest for your completion, is to see to it that you have your part. Your part is being expressed in serving in the body and outside of the body. Now, other areas that we have that are developing areas, small group facilitators, you know, that's something that, as I said, you know, that's the family room kind of activity, small group type stuff going on. And, you know, you might say, well, you know, we come to church and church is a small group. And in reality, we do have that dynamic here where, and we utilize that. That's why we go to the interaction time, you know, at the tables and so forth. We can use this as a small group activity as well. But it gets more involved in that. Sometimes there's the specific areas of study that we want to go to and into and things like that. But then it's from here to not only serving here, but it's also serving outside of this congregation. And that's where we go. Let's go invite the neighbors. Remember that people will frequently not come into a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ or not come into a relationship with the family of God without an invitation. So here's where we get active outside of ourselves, outside of the church. Let's go invite the neighbors. And we have some things that are going on already. There's some community service and outreach that's going on. You know, I think about, you know, we help serve the community and delivering Meals on Wheels. I know Dorothy is involved in that. Mom and Dad have been involved in that. Others have at different times. You know, we've done some other, you know, community service types of things, but this, these are things that we always need to be examining, is how are we impacting and affecting those outside of us? How are we inviting our neighbors to the household of God? How are we inviting them to this church even? Some other things that we've done is the Sportsman's Big Event, Game Feed. That's a cool thing where we become involved outside of ourselves. Motorcycle Rally, Jim's getting geared up for that again. It'll be coming up in September here. And so, you know, these are some ways that we are involved outside. And I know that you guys as individuals are involved outside of our congregation as well, serving in different capacities, having impact with different people. So I'm not negating that, saying we're not doing enough. But it's something that we always evaluate. Are we attaining to the potential? Are we making our stand today in these last days? Are we fitting into the place? Are we standing in the place that God has called us to such a time as this? You know, are we just kind of cruising through life and come, Lord Jesus, had it here. You know, I've shared you with so many people and all they do is reject me. I'm tired of that. Well, you know, we can't grow weary in our well-doing. So let's, are we inviting the neighbors? Literally inviting the neighbors. You know, figuratively inviting, you know, metaphorically inviting the neighbors. Are we involved outside of ourselves? You know, again, this is something that I've been working with the ministry leaders with. Part of what's happening right now with us is we're being encouraged to evaluate our areas of ministry for a number of different reasons. You know, one of them is for greater effectiveness. You know, I've been challenging our ministry leaders, you know, how can we be more effective at the things that we are already doing? How can we do them and be more effective with them? And we're also looking at this fall. There is a cultural thing that happens with us in Minnesota when fall and school starts again. It's like people gear back up into, okay, how am I going to structure my life now? Well, what things do we need to give as a church to this community for them to structure into their lives? Are there things different than we are doing now that we will gear up for fall? That's one of the questions I'm asking the ministry leaders. And another reason that we're evaluating this is for involvement of the members of this body. You know, if God has called you to be a part of this church, are you finding your place of service? Are there some that don't have a place of service? Because if you're not giving your place of service, you're not being completed, and neither is the body that you've been called to is being completed. So what is your area that you're serving in? We're evaluating that and purposely going, you know, let's get everyone involved. We have a quest as Praise Fellowship Church for the completion of each person, to bring them through the process of spiritual maturity and to the point where they're loving God and loving others and being a follower of Jesus Christ, that being fully committed, serving in their capacity, serving in the gifts that God has given them. And also, we're being challenged to beat this 80-20 statistic. You all know what the 80-20 statistic is? That is that 80% of the work is done by 20% of the people. And I don't believe that's a statistic. That is not a statistic here at this in this congregation. I believe we're well above the 20% doing the work. But typically, you know, that is the principle, that most of the work gets done by a small part of the people. And it's not to be that way. God hasn't intended it that way. God has intended everyone to do their part because it causes growth in the body. It causes the body to be healthy, and it completes us as individuals to be serving. It keeps us spiritually fervent. It keeps our passion. Restored passion is a result of serving the Lord. So I don't want any of you to miss that because no one's asked you to do anything or because you haven't seen that there's a place for you. I don't want you to miss out on that passion of serving the Lord. Okay, so I'm going to wrap it up with this passage of Scripture from 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 through 11. First Peter 4:10 and 11 says, God has given each of you a gift. Everyone say each. Each, okay, so none are disqualified. God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God himself were speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. All glory and power to him forever and ever. Amen. So again, see these things in there? God has given each of you a gift. There's a great variety of gifts. Okay, so none of us needs to feel like, well, my part won't fit. No, there's a place for everyone's part with the variety that God gives. And I love this verse from New American Standard Bible where it says, employ your gifts. Not only use them well to serve one another, but employ your gift in serving one another. I like that translation because I like to state it this way. There are too many gifts that are standing in the unemployment line because we have not employed them. Employ those gifts in serving others. That's what the directive word of the scripture is. Employ those gifts as good stewards. God has given you a gift. Don't bury that gift. Employ it in serving others. Be a good steward of that gift. Use them well to serve one another. If it's in speaking, speak as though God were speaking through you. If it's in serving, do it with all the strength that God gives you. And in all of that, it says that we will bring glory to God. Again, my intent in this message is for the fulfillment of your purpose, for the fulfillment of your satisfaction, to bring you, again, towards that being complete in Christ Jesus, for that completion project to continue and to be completed in your life. It's so that you can attain the potential that God has for you. Everyone say this. God has for me a potential to attain. And I purpose... Oh, boy, you guys are really enthusiastic. As you help me out here a little bit, okay? Otherwise, I'm going to feel like I just did a terrible job. You got to at least sound more enthusiastic than you sounded before, okay? God has for me...
God has for me!
That's good, really. Thank you. What was I saying now? To attain a potential.
To attain a potential.
And I purpose before God... And before these other people as my witnesses. To at least desire to attain that potential. And as the desire comes, I will follow that desire. And attain my potential. For I have been called for such a time as this. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, there is so much in here, and I just kind of touched on this, just the tip of it. But Lord, just stir that desire in us. If we're not at a place where we even desire to serve, Lord, through the confession that we made, Lord, stir that desire in us so that we can have a restored passion as individuals and a restored passion as a body of believers that people will come in and they'll say, what are you guys so excited about? And we'll have the opportunity to share the fervor that we have in you, Lord, and the passion that we have in you. And Father, I know that there's steps in this process and it doesn't just happen overnight. And that's all fully understood. Just like a child doesn't mature overnight, it takes years and takes development. But help us to be about the process, Lord, and help us as a church to fulfill the quest that we have of bringing people into that place of being a follower of Jesus, a spiritually mature disciple who's serving in the capacity that you have called them to. Lord, just in this process, just give us the next step each way to know what to do and how to do it best. I just thank you, Lord, so much for the people that you have brought to this place, Lord. It is a divine implantation that you do, Lord, where you place people in your body as you see fit. And you have brought people to this place, Lord, for a purpose. And I'm so thankful for the people that you have brought. And I'm so thankful, Lord, for the leaders that you have raised up in this congregation to serve in the capacities that they are. Lord, just doing a tremendous job and being such a blessing to this body. Help us, Lord, there's more that we can attain to. In our evaluation process, help us to see clearly the things that we need to adjust, Lord, so that we can be more of what you have called us to be. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.